It's good to have our brother Jay with us this morning, and I know that he has prepared a message for each one of us. And I ask that each one of us open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother and apostle, Jay Moser.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a privilege to be here. I feel grateful to our Heavenly Father that he has delivered me home safely after many long miles over dangerous roads and things like that. Late night driving and that sort of thing that we end up doing in places like Yucatan. So I know that I'm in the Lord's hands and beholding to him and to your prayers for my deliverance. As all are each one of our brothers and sisters, we should always keep them in mind when they're traveling around, whoever they might be. We never know when someone's going to have a difficult time or problems. Today, I would like to speak to you about overcoming. There is a, as I was listening to the sermons last week, I don't know what prompted me, but there was something in one of the sermons, in one of the scriptures that they read that drew my attention to this idea of overcoming. And I began thinking about it, and I began asking myself, well, what exactly does it mean to overcome? To overcome. You know, to overcome, people are overcome when they're in warfare. They're overcome. One nation overcomes another one. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're completely destroyed. It usually has a connotation that when we overcome, one nation or one person overcomes, they are sitting on top of another one. They suppress another nation. Or when we overcome in the gospel, we are suppressing something else that's always there, that's never really completely done away. It's something you could always reverse it anytime you chose. But we overcome by sitting on top of the natural man. I would like to read a scripture from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7. Verse 7 says in chapter 21, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." As I began looking, you know, I really am grateful for having a computers and things like this and concordances. You can look up these words like overcome, overcometh, overcoming, and find all kinds of information just almost immediately. And I was pleased with the things which I found. But to overcome means, of course, that you're going and you have your personality is one that overcomes the world. Your personality is one that's overcoming the state of being that we live in. Another word might be perseverance. To have perseverance is to have a determination to continue with something, to continue on, to not give up, to not walk away, to continue on in some endeavor or some action that we're engaged in. Perseverance is to have a steady and continued action or belief, usually over a long period, and especially despite difficulties or setbacks. This is the kind of overcoming that the Lord is speaking of. To overcome is to go to the end of your day, to go until you pass from this life to the next life, having put down the things of the flesh, the things which overcome us if we let them. It is the same really as the word endure, to endure. To endure to the end. Of course, to endure, it means you're going to bear under hardship. You're going to tolerate disagreeable things and you survive. With all these things in mind, we have to consider that every moment in life is not pleasant. Everything in life is not agreeable. There are times when we must sit upon and wait upon God for Him to move in our life to help us to completely overcome But we must use our strength that God gives to us. I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. The example that we have of Christ, His words, He made this statement just prior to His crucifixion. He said these words in verse 33, John 16. These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And when He left the world was exactly the same. He did not suppress Rome. He did not suppress the Jewish nation. He didn't bring these things into being, but He overcame the temptations. He overcame everything that was placed in front of Him. He overcame it. And He was victorious in everything. Not like us. We always have something we have given into. Somewhere along the way, we owe Christ this great debt that He didn't give into anything. He had no sin of any kind. But that is our model. That's the thing that we have to shoot for. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, says this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you're born of God and have been given the Holy Spirit and you use that, you will overcome the world. You will be victorious. That is the promise. It means victorious over things like your emotions. They may still be there, but you can be on top of those things. Victorious over the lusts of your flesh, the desires of this world, the drunkenness of the nations, the things that overcome. It means that you, when you are born of Him, can overcome. It is given for you to do. It is a free gift for you to partake of. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, we watched today this our brother as he was explaining to us about the Bible and all the various manuscripts and the various versions and the confusion and all these kinds of things. And if you were just to look at that, if you were just looking from the mind of having to absolutely know what the truth was by simply studying, by looking at the manuscripts under some kind of microscope, if that's what you relied upon, you would never believe. You would not believe in God's Word. Faith is the thing that overcomes. Not knowing, we choose. We make a choice that there is something about this gospel. It is good. And so I choose to obey. I choose to believe. And when things get unpleasant, when doubts arise, and doubts are always there, doubts arise from one day to the next, we choose to have faith. We choose to believe in the face of those things. And this is what tells us, the Scriptures, is what overcomes everything. Faith overcomes these things. It isn't that when I was administered to for my broken foot that today I'm walking. It's that I continue to choose faith. I continue to choose this way because there's always difficulty. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? To believe this. This is what overcomes. If you look out at all the religions in the world and all the faiths and all the myriad of beliefs that we can possibly come from the pagan world, from the Christian world, but to believe that Jesus is the Son of God is this key thing for us to overcome. So what does one look like? What does a person look like who is overcoming? What do they do? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis? And how would you know one if you saw one or met one? It's a good question. How do I know if I'm overcoming? What is it that I can know? Does it mean that, you know, this is what God considers to be success, overcoming. It has nothing to do with your job except how you represent Christ in the workplace. It has nothing to do whether you make an A on your test in school. It has to do with how you show forth your light in the world to those that are around you. And how you yourself inside, in your mind, have dealt with the various problems of life. In the book of Romans, we read this. Chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 19. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You know, we go from faith to faith. And now there is a process we can go through of having faith. And then as years go by, as time and proofs and things happen, you have a certain knowledge about things. And in that one thing, as the Book of Mormon says, well, your faith becomes dormant and you have knowledge. But we still live really from faith to faith. One day to the next, from our faith believing in God to the next day when we must face our needs and our problems and the problems of our families and of our own doubts. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, a person who is overcoming is a person who uses their faith in Christ's life and in His words as a guide for their everyday living. If you are overcoming, that's your guide. That's what you judge every action that you do. That's what you judge it by. You have looked at it and you have made decisions in your life. You live by that faith. And a person who lives by faith is a person who is overcoming. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you believe and if you simply come, you know, to church just to put in your time, it's not really enough. You're holding the truth. You know, you have to go from this place, even though this is one of those things. I like something I heard on the radio this week. It really, I have to admit, there's some talk shows I listen to and I really like. And this guy made a pretty good point. You know, we spend all of our time in society, spend so much time being brought down, being brought low by the activities of their life. If you sit and watch television for 6 hours, you're actually being brought low. You're not being lifted up in any way. So he made this point. He said, well, what are you doing to lift yourself up above all this? Are you spending 6 hours to counteract this in some other activity? And he mentioned, are you going to church? Are you an active participant in your faith? What are you doing to actually lift yourself up to overcome? If you're not doing anything, you're not overcoming. You have to do something in your life to overcome. And if you hold the truth and you don't do anything with it, then you are not living by faith. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. But God has shown these people. He has shown us the truth. He has given us this avenue of faith. It is a spiritual action that gives us this truth, that gives us the strength to live every day. People who are overcoming, they seek to overcome in their life by good works, by good words. How often do you yield to something that just brings you down and puts a burden on somebody else just by something that you say? If you're going to overcome, you have to learn how to control our works and our words and our thoughts. We have to learn how to suppress and to bring other thoughts into your mind and to bring other activities into your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The only way to overcome is by doing good, by saying good, by thinking good. These are the only ways in which you can overcome in your life. This is the only way. If you spend your time in things that will just simply bring you down or draw you away, you will not overcome. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because he overcame all the things that we would like to overcome in our lives. And he lives in a state of having overcome. And if he is in us, we will overcome. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You know, when we're out and in the working place, and I've heard firemen say this, and people, and any time I ever worked in the world, there was always around me. Everything was putting pressure on me, and I had to make a conscious effort every moment of my working life to overcome, to not be suppressed or overcome by these other activities, by these things that come upon you, not to give in. It doesn't mean you have to strike up bring out your sword and slay the people that are there, but it means you do have to stand and not be ashamed. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In verse 4 it says, ye are of God, and love is of God. Verse 8, he that knoweth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God is love, and someone who is overcoming in love. If you don't feel love, if you don't make this conscious decision to treat other people correctly because it's the right thing to do, if you don't make a conscious decision to pray for other people, if you don't make a conscious decision to do these things and put them into action, you are not overcoming. You have been overcome. So, people who overcome use love to overcome the world and their actions. I want to turn to, you know, if we're going to find out how people have overcome, we need to kind of go and look at places in the scriptures where people overcome great adversity, where they met challenges that seemingly were, I would be fearful to try and meet this kind of a challenge unless I just absolutely knew the Lord was with me. It would be a fearful thing. But on the very first pages of the Book of Mormon, we find someone who was overcoming, and he had many trials in his life, and his name was Lehi. This man overcame. He overcame so many things, and the whole city was against him. Everyone in the city was against him, but he overcame through God. So I would like to read just a portion of this story. I want to read about 11 verses from 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 13. The actions of this man, Lehi. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days, in that same year there came many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or that great city Jerusalem must be destroyed, Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. You know, one of the things about people who are overcoming, they pray often selflessly. They pray for other people. They pour out their heart to God for someone else. You know, something else that they do is, you know how people, down in Mexico, they have a saying, and I've forgotten exactly how it goes in Spanish, but there's a saying, you know, that a rich man never has enough to be able to give you something. But if you go among the poor, they've always got enough to share with you. They throw another cup of water in the soup. They divide their tortillas up with you. They share. They always have enough. And some people never have enough to pay their tithing. They never have it. They never reach the place where they think they have enough. But if you're overcoming, you always have enough. You always have enough time to pray. If you're overcoming. If you're not, you don't have enough time. Because you're not applying yourself. You have time to overcome. My father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. And it came to pass, as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock before him. And he saw and heard much. And because of the things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. And it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself upon his bed, being overcome with the spirit and the things which he had seen. And being thus overcome with the spirit, he also was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. I found this thing that was... This seemed to be in common with people who were overcoming. They were often felt the Spirit of God, and they were overcome by God's Spirit. They yielded themselves to God, and they were overcome with God's Spirit and blessed, mighty, lifted up and strengthened, and had marvelous experiences. Verse 8. And it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. And he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars of the firmament. And they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. And the first came and stood before my father, and gave unto him a book, and bade him that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, and that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof, many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. And it came to pass that when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy are over all the inhabitants of the earth. And because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer that those who come unto thee, that they shall perish. People who overcome, they find God. They stick to it enough that they find him. They find him in their everyday life. They don't stop. They continue. They use that particle of faith, and they find him. They find God's counsel. They find what they need to survive. And here he's looking at a situation that is terrible. He knows by the power of revelation and by this manifestation of God to him that something terrible is about to happen to his city. something terrible. And yet he finds in his heart to exclaim unto God, to praise his name, because he found what he needed. He was overcoming. It didn't depend on his circumstances, but upon what God had done for him. That was the blessing which he received. And he found time to worship. And he found time to pray. He found time to think about what he needed to do and to meditate upon the condition of his people. I want to go to another place, another man who experienced great tribulation. I want to go to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Someone who was living at the beginning of a time when he obviously knew the church was going to be overcome. This thing that he loved, John, he knew he loved it above everything else. He loved the church, he loved his God, and yet he could see this, and it was made manifest to him. So what did he have to say? So if we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 9 through verse 13 of the first chapter. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, people who are overcoming, they have tribulation. They are acquainted with it. They know what it's all about. And yet they have the strength, and they overcome that tribulation within themselves. They know what it is to be patient and to wait in Christ's kingdom. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You know, people who overcome, they have time to worship. Now, I believe it was their practice that they usually met on the Lord's day. On the first day of the week, they met. I believe they probably met on Saturday. I believe they probably met during the week. They met whenever they could. But he had overcome a certain part of his life to this extent that he had dedicated this time. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He took advantage of something that God had given to him to meet together. Now, I'm assuming he was in prison at this time. At least that's what the historians say. He was on the Isle of Patmos and he was in prison. But yet, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Did it just happen all of a sudden? Or did he wake up that morning? I believe he woke up that morning and he thought and he prayed and he meditated about what he had known. And the Spirit came to him because he did not seek his own pleasure on that day. He sought God's pleasure and he received the strength. Having faith in the Lord is having faith in this day. Having faith that by honoring him on this day, God will bless me. By giving of my time and seeking to do what's right and keeping my thoughts, as best I can, focused upon the Lord. Now, you've got to prepare your meals. There's all kinds of things you have to do. Your kids fall down and they get bloody lips and all kinds of things. You have to take care of those things. But this should be a day in which you take time to honor him and the things which you do, the things which you don't do upon this day. And so the Spirit of God was with him upon this day, because he took that time. He overcame maybe his desires to do something else, and he met, or I should say he met with the Lord. Perhaps he was all by himself. But he turned the day over to the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So here we begin something that's very interesting. John was revealed to him and told to write for the churches, and he wrote this letter to the seven churches. And the thing that I think is most interesting to me is that every single message ends with something like this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He said this about overcoming to each church. He gave that message to each church seven times. That was chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Very interesting, these things. I think one time I heard somebody do an expose about each one of these churches, their sins, their strengths. It's very interesting, and I wish I had a copy of that. And someday I'm going to have to do a study about that, going back to each one of these and historically finding out what their sins were and what each one of these things meant. It probably covers the gamut of everything that we do in life. And everything that's wrong, and everything that's good as well. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the church. It is important to your soul to overcome. It is essential that you overcome. It is essential for your happiness that you learn to overcome. You know, as I sit here, one of the things that I thought, it just struck me all of a sudden, was that in this first chapter, it said that Jesus was standing in the midst of these seven candlesticks. That signifying to me that he is with the church. When we meet here, he is in our midst. We are a candlestick. You know, I got all these candles up here. I imagine you're wondering what in the world I'm going to do. And I'm kind of wondering too, because I have one here I haven't really tried. And my wife brought it up to me, so I don't know what's going to happen when I try this, but that's all part really of the demonstration. You know, every time you go to a wedding, we light candles here, and for every wedding, they usually put the kind of color of candle they want in there, and of course, there's the candles they have up front, and then it has all the symbology, and it's pretty. And how precarious is it every time? I don't think I've ever been to one yet where one of the candles doesn't go out, where somebody catches on fire or something. Something terrible happens with these candles. Why? You know, candles are precarious. Candles are precarious. And when you light one, it's kind of interesting that a candle power really is one of the units of measure that's most common about all light. All light is based on a candle power. And there it is. You know, those of you who haven't ever lived trying to live with candles, once in a while in Mexico, once in a while we do it here occasionally when the power goes out. But it's a lost art. It's a lost, you know. If I was to take this candle and go outside and try to walk to my house, I might make it and I might not. I probably wouldn't make it till that candle went out. A candle is a kind of a thing, you know, because of our electric lights and everything, candles and lamps and things like that, you have to keep them ready when it's light. You've got to do all your work when it's light. You've got to get it ready to go. When it's dark, you can't see what you're doing. And there's no electricity. And so you've got to keep it ready during the daytime. You have to know how to use it, and they have elaborate candles you've seen in antique stores, you know, things, how they protected candles to keep them going. And people were very expert at doing this, how they would work it. And so, but this really, when it talked about those candlesticks and the golden candlesticks, it probably wasn't a candle like this. It probably was one, probably more along this line, and yet it said golden candlestick. We saw some when we were in Jerusalem. They had some representations. It was kind of a little cup with a little tiny hole in the top or a slit, and they put a wick down there, and they put some kind of oil in there, usually olive oil in times past, and you had to keep that trimmed up and just the right height. And if it's not the right height, it's not going to work right. And so it took a lot of care. Every day you had to take care of the candle. The Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona is a candle. It is a lamp. It requires your daily care. You must care for this church. You must take care of its light. You must take care of how we live every day. Some of the things that the Lord told to us, you know, in this warning to the churches, it was compared to seven candlesticks. He told one, you know, if you don't repent, I'm going to come take the candlestick from you. He counseled them to not be afraid of tribulation. Don't be afraid of tribulation. Don't be afraid of persecution. He spoke against idolatry and fornication, spiritual and temporal. He counseled against people just let things happen in their midst and don't say anything or do anything about it. He counseled them against giving up and forgetting the gospel commandments. He counseled them against the dangers of wealth and easy living. He counseled them to repent in each one. He counseled them to receive rebuke and chastisement. And if we don't, we're not overcoming. If you can't receive rebuke from God, if someone was to stand, if our pastor was led at this very moment to stand up and to rebuke one of you, to rebuke me, could we receive it? If God moved upon him, and it was evident to us, could we receive it? A very important thing to consider. But Jesus is in the midst. So now I'm going to try lighting this thing and see what happens. Because this is probably a closer representation of those candles. There's nothing around the top of it. It works. There's nothing around the top of it, but it's something that has to be kept sheltered out of the rain, out of the wind. It has to be trimmed every single day. It has to be filled every day. Every day. You know, it, to me, it gives a new thought to that parable about the 10 virgins. They had to do it every day. Every single day, they had to fill that lamp. Every single day, they had to trim that wick, or they didn't have light in the evening when they needed it. If we forget to pray, we're not overcoming. If we forget to praise God for what He has done to us or for us, we are not overcoming. If we don't have love for our fellow man, we are not overcoming. We are not ready. I would like to ask you to, in your private time, to read through Psalms chapter 37 and contemplate and meditate upon each one of those verses, the things, the concepts that are there. This was a psalm that David wrote about overcoming, about seeing the, what the world would consider to be overcoming, which would be wealth and riches and power and might in the world, and how he dealt with it, how he dealt with it, and how he lived with it, how he lived with persecutions, how he lived alone when everyone was against him through the Lord, how he was content. You know, that's a thing to remember. Someone who is overcome by the riches of the world is never going to be content. But if you are overcoming, then you'll always be content. You'll always have enough. You'll have enough every day of your life. You'll have enough to share. You'll have enough to give to others. You'll have enough prayers and enough time for those that you love. You'll always be ready. So these are the things that came to my mind as I thought about. And so you may come up with some other things. What does it mean to overcome in your personal life? What does it mean to overcome according to the Scriptures? What does it mean? And how is it fulfilled? Can you sit down and list things in which you have kept suppressed, overcome in your life certain things that even have grown so weak? The more, the longer you overcome, the weaker these things become in your life. You can overcome more and more and more. I'm not talking about those that perhaps they have some physical defect that you may never overcome. It's always there. But you can learn to live. You can learn to live with what God deals to us each and every day. And if we do so, if we do overcome, you will have the gift and the power of God to be with you. Just as these two brothers, John and Lehi, they had this wonderful gift when they sought him, when they meditated upon him, God was with them. And just as Lehi said that he always answers those who cry out unto him with all the energy of their heart, this is the promise which we have. And no one is excluded. No one from this ability to overcome. May God bless you each and every one.